Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
This is not a negotiation. I'm running this team because the Reinsdorfs want me to, and I'm going to run it that I think is best.
And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
I think your play is embarrassing. The pro player thing, this is basketball.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media. On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pat. And on Facebook, at Facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into another edition of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. My co-host, Jordan Malley, is off today. He will be back tomorrow joining me for another edition of Wednesday Mailbag. So, throw us your comments, your Bulls questions about maybe that Bucks game from Monday night or anything else on your mind as the Bulls are almost to that much-needed all-star break. Again, that voicemail and text line is 331-979-1369. Send us your Bulls thoughts as this fan base is one game away from a break that I think we need as much as this young Bulls team this season. So on today's show, as I said, Jordan is off. I will be handling these topics solo today. We'll break down that Bucks loss from last night, the East leading Bucks led by Giannis Antetokounmpo, who had another pretty strong performance last night. No Nico Mirotic, sadly. That would have been fun to see him play. We'll break down the keys to that game. We'll also look at Jim Boylan's most interesting rotation choices over the last handful of games. The offensive rating of this team, which looked pretty strong in the game since Otto Porter Jr.'s arrival, came crashing to a halt last night, of course, partly due to the fact that Milwaukee is one of the better defensive teams in the league. And we'll wrap things up with Jim Boylan's most recent head-scratching decision when it comes to players on his team playing through injury. Another really unsettling example that we saw last night with our point guard, Chris Dunn. So all that on deck, and let's start with biggest takeaways from that Bucks game last night. The Bulls lose. 112-99 was the final that broke the Bulls' streak of, I'm pretty sure it was a double-digit streak of consecutive games scoring 100 or more points. They were in this game all the way up until the final minutes of the fourth quarter. To me, one of the biggest reasons that the Bulls found themselves on the losing side of what looked to be a very winnable game against a very good Bucks team, the Bucks came out very flat. The Bucks did not shoot well, particularly in the first quarter. They started 3 of 13 from downtown, 8 of 24 from the field overall, and yet somehow the Bucks were still holding a one-point edge, 22-21, after the first quarter. The Bulls really failing to take advantage of a slow start from the Bucks, who usually get out of the gate pretty quickly. Between that and the Bulls' failure to execute down the stretch in the fourth quarter, that kind of was the summary of that game. We saw some late-game mistakes on the offensive end, another pretty characteristic turnover from Zach LaVine, who usually is this team's go-to guy down the stretch. It is a story we've seen too many times this season. The better team executed more successfully down the stretch, and the Bulls came out on the losing side. Of course, there are plenty of you out there who only care about the draft lottery positioning right now, and I don't fault you for that. So maybe you were really thrilled with what we saw last night, which was the Bulls remaining competitive and staying in a game with the East's best team and ultimately coming out on the losing side. Many people would describe that as the perfect tank loss. I don't necessarily disagree with you. As far as the key players for the Bulls last night, Zach LaVine did have a pretty darn good game. He had 27 points on 9 of 19 shooting, including 4 of 6 makes from downtown, Also, a perfect 5 of 5 from the free throw line, adding 7 assists and 5 boards. This is another game in the recent trend we've seen where Zach LaVine not only is racking up the points, but finding some success as a facilitator, which has always been the biggest knock on his game this season. His points and his scoring has become more and more consistent, and he's doing that in a variety of ways, and was really attacking the basket aggressively again last night without a Porter Jr.'s arrival. He said after the game he has more room to operate, and there's a lot more he can do when he is that ball-dominant player on the floor. So we did see that last night, but even more impressive is what he's been able to do getting looks for his teammates. I think he's on a streak right now of, I think, like 4 straight games where he's got 20-plus points and 5-plus assists. That is not necessarily something we came to expect from LaVine this season. But it's nice to see, especially when we talk about the inconsistent play of Chris Dunn. And we'll get to Dunn in a second. But a strong game from LaVine last night. But again, a couple of crucial mistakes down the stretch. Really struggling in those clutch moments when the Bulls were still in this game late in the fourth quarter. They couldn't get it done. LaVine couldn't get it done. And it didn't help that his sidekick, his scoring partner in crime, Lauri Markkanen, had a really rough night shooting the ball. Markkanen had been on a tear recently, you know, putting up a streak of 3 straight 30-plus games, and then following that up with another very respectable game of 20-plus and a double-double with double-digit rebounds. He did do that again last night. Now, he finished with 20 points and 17 rebounds, which looks like a pretty darn good game from your starting four. Unfortunately, Markkanen was 6 of 21 from the field, just 1 of 7 from downtown, and even the looks he got inside, and he was aggressive and attacked the basket many times last night, and he got good looks at the rim. He just couldn't buy a bucket. He was missing layups. He was missing, looks close at the rim that he usually finishes. So it's unfortunate that Markkanen had a down night. If Markkanen hits a few more shots early on and has a better feel for this game as far as seeing the ball go in the hoop, maybe the Bulls shockingly win this game. Sadly, that wasn't the case. But hey, I mean, everyone is due for an off night here or there shooting the ball. And I was encouraged by the other ways Markkanen made himself useful in this game. He continued to show us that he is a better rebounder this year than he was as a rookie. And that is one of the things that his coach Jim Boylan harped on him about when Boylan took over for Fred Hoiberg. Said Lowry's got to be a better rebounder, and Markkanen is really starting to do that. And although, as I mentioned, he did have a tough shooting night, one of the other things I liked watching Lowry play last night was the moments in the game where he saw an opportunity and took advantage of an opportunity when he got a defensive rebound, to be the one to bring the ball up the floor and push the pace and look to attack, and even developing some really nice moments of chemistry between him and Zach LaVine, which we have started to see more of. That's encouraging. And finding he had a few assists. And if I'm not mistaken, all 3 of Lowry's assists were to a running Zach LaVine when the Bulls' offense in transition got out and ran, which is encouraging. It's nice to see that, and it's nice to see Lowry have the confidence to grab that defensive rebound, put the ball on the floor, and push the pace and look for those easy transition buckets. We saw some of that last night. So it's nice to see Markkanen affecting the game in ways when his shot isn't falling. Outside of those two key guys, another solid night from Otto Porter Jr., 7 of 14 from the field, including 2 of 4 from downtown. He finished with 18, 7, and 4 assists. It is just so refreshing to see this guy who seamlessly found his way into this starting five. He is a breath of fresh air for this team right now. I know a lot of fans are still skeptical about his contract, and some fans skeptical about giving up on Jabari too soon or sending away Bobby Portis, who certainly was a fan favorite. But Otto Porter Jr. is something that this Bulls team needed, without a doubt. And we even saw a new glimpse of a different kind of Otto Porter when it comes to the lineups that Jim Boylan put out there last night. So we are going to talk about that next, right after a quick break. Hey, Bulls Nation, it's Matt with Locked On Bulls. We have an important favor to ask you, and we'd really like your help. We've put together together a survey so we can learn more about listeners just like you and make your favorite Locked On podcasts even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. It should take just 10 to 15 minutes to complete. By participating, you enter yourself with a chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. That's right. Just visit LockedOnPodcast.com/survey to participate. That's LockedOnPodcasts.com/survey. Enter for your chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. We really appreciate your feedback. Thanks. Locked On Bulls rolls on. I'm Matt Peck, your host, holding down the fort on a solo show today. Jordan Malley will be back tomorrow. So you got my key takeaways from that loss to Milwaukee last night. All in all, a more respectable outcome and a more respectable game than I was expecting between one of the worst teams in the league and one of the best teams in the league. Before we took a break, I mentioned that we saw a different kind of Otto Porter Jr. last night. He was still his same very consistent self as far as what he was doing on the offensive end and the versatility he shows on the defensive end. But we saw a new lineup from Jim Boylan last night. We have started to see Boylan flirt with the lineups that include playing Lauri Markkanen at the five in recent games, especially since Porter's arrival, where he has put Porter at the four and gone small ball. Now, last night, it got even crazier. And Boylan, citing the fact that Milwaukee went small for large stretches of that game last night, playing Giannis at the five, which is a very frightening lineup and hard for everybody. Markkanen really had his hands full trying to slow down moments guarding Giannis last night when Markkanen and Giannis were paired up together. But for a certain stretch of last night's game, and I think it may have even happened twice, we saw a lineup that included Otto Porter Jr. at the five in the smallest small ball lineup that we have seen from Jim Boylan. So you had Otto at the five. You had Luau out there at the four. You had Shaq Harrison at the three, Seldon at the two, and Archie Diacono at the one. Now, this is a tough lineup to watch. And try as they might, Otto Porter Jr. and Wayne Seldon could not really salvage that lineup of five guys on the floor last night. I didn't mention in our first segment, Wayne Seldon, who has been a real bright spot in a tough stretch of games for the Bulls, has looked really good. Wayne Seldon looks like a guy the Bulls might be wise to invest in and try to keep around this summer on a reasonable contract offer. But Seldon had a really rough night last night. He finished with just 4 points on 2 of 10 shooting in 21 minutes. We have come to expect more from Seldon than that, so that was unfortunate. But this second unit, which, by the way, Boylan shrank to a rotation of just 9 guys last night with a DNP coach's decision from Cristiano Felicio, can't necessarily fault him for that. When Felicio sent the injuries to Wendell and the departure of Bobby and Jabari with the shortened front court depth, has gotten some run off the bench in recent games, has looked just as awful as we all remember. So Boylan said, all right, I'm going to shrink my rotation to 9, and that means I got to get crafty and creative as far as figuring out lineups to play and who I'm putting in that front court. Well, last night we saw a lineup with Otto Porter at the five. Now, I know that a lot of NBA teams are going small these days, and the Bucks are one of those teams. As I mentioned, Giannis, they use a lot of lineups with Giannis at the five. Now, one of the things you like about Otto Porter's game is his versatility on the defensive end. But for the Bulls and what we have right now, it kind of seems, in my opinion, like a fruitless errand to try that kind of lineup out. Now, you can make your jokes about Felicio, he should get minutes because Cam's gone and we need a new tank commander or whatever you want to call it. And guess what? The Bulls shouldn't be accidentally winning games like they did last year with Sean Kill draft pick, because let's be honest, we want every single 10th of a percentage point chance at Zion Williamson as we can get. And right now the Bulls are at 4 on the outside looking in to that top 3 where they would get 14% as opposed to 12.5%. But when you're talking about experimenting with small ball lineups, which just seems so futuristic compared to the archaic content we've seen from Jim Boylan and archaic strategy we've seen from Jim Boylan. I like that he's trying something different like this, but unfortunately, the rest of that second unit is just so bad right now. This Bulls starting five, including Otto Porter, is actually looking pretty respectable right now. They still, of course, need to address the point guard spot, and I said we'll get to Dunn at the back end of the show. But with the LaVine at the two, Otto as your wing, Markkanen and Wendell in your front court, that's starting to look like at least a pretty interesting starting five that could take a step next season. But right now, the second unit of this team is G League levels of bad. Shaq Harrison and Archie Diacono have each gotten credit for their scrappiness and their hustle plays on the defensive end. And, you know, Jim Boylan loves his toughness and grit and, you know, insert random adjective here, talking about intangibles as opposed to basketball acumen. But it's gotten to a point where I cannot watch these second unit rotations and minutes with Shaq Harrison and Archie Diacono. Look at Archie's numbers shooting the ball over the last month or even 2 months. It's so bad. And Shaq Harrison, equally bad. Neither of these guys can shoot right now. They have no momentum on the offensive end. And any grit and toughness that they're displaying on the defensive end, it doesn't count. It doesn't mean anything because they are so limited offensively. So when I saw this rotation from Boylan last night, and I said, wow, Otto at the five in a super small ball lineup is a really interesting idea. But unfortunately, the other pieces around him in that group of five players are so inferior to average levels of NBA talent and certainly inferior to even the Bucks' second unit that it's an experiment that can't get off the ground. They got cooked. If you go back and watch the minutes last night where Porter was playing the five in a stretch where it was mostly second unit guys and Porter in a very small ball lineup, it was ugly. Couldn't score, couldn't get stops, couldn't rebound. It was ugly. Now, I know that the Bulls brass are at least curious to think about situations where they could maybe swap Markkanen and Wendell. They want to see Markkanen show the ability to play some minutes at least at the five moving forward. And of course, some of that has to do with not only adding a little bit more strength to his frame so he can contend with some of the bigger bodies in the league, but also as a five, his footwork needs to continue to improve. He still has a really tough time with his defensive assignments when he is asked to play that five center position. Otto Porter is versatile on both ends of the floor. And whether it's Jim Boylan or whether it's someone else next season, I think it would be in this team's best interest to experiment with a lot of different rotations and a lot of different looks, playing Otto all throughout that front court. The three, the four, and the five. Try marking it at the four and marking it at the five. Honestly, I think it would even be beneficial to have some lineups where you have Wendell at the four and see what happens there. And of course, another factor next season might be, does this team draft Zion? And then where does that rotation go? But that's another conversation for another day. I just thought it was interesting last night that we saw, after Boylan showed us Markkanen at the five looks, last night he showed us Otto at the five look, and it did not go well. But again, I am saying that it's mostly about the talent or lack thereof around Otto in that lineup that we saw last night, because this Bulls second unit is really bad. You look at what the Bulls bench did collectively last night, 15 total points, a minus 10 for Shaq Harrison, a minus 14 for Archie Diacono, a minus 19 for Luwawu, a minus 10 for Seldon, and collectively shot, let's see, 6 of 20 from the field. That's not great. That is not ideal. And the Bucks bench, meanwhile, you know, you got 12 points from Ilyasova. You got a collection of points, rebounds, and assists from Hill, from our old pal Tony Snell, and from Sterling Brown. It's a better Bucks team. And usually when you are a better team, your bench outperforms your opponent's second unit. That was certainly a story last night, and it will continue to be. But I thought it was interesting and worth talking about that we saw Otto at the five, because the Bulls really do love his versatility, and talked about it at length when they brought him in and made that trade. And I believe in it. You know, I think that it's worthwhile if they get some more pieces around this roster next season to continue to experiment with the different ways that Porter, Markkanen, Wendell, when he's healthy, can play together in different looks. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, we'll wrap up with a look at the game that Chris Dunn had last night, and also a interesting decision from Jim Boylan to keep Dunn in that game. That's next. Stay tuned. Hey, Bulls Nation. Matt here with a quick tip about new and exciting ways that you can get your favorite Bulls content through technology around your home and in your car. Did you know that, by the way, maybe you got a smart speaker, an in-home smart speaker for a holiday gift? A lot of people are using them in-home these days. If you have an in-home smart speaker, you can now use it to play Locked On Bulls and all of your favorite Locked On podcasts. Just tell your in-home smart speaker, play podcast Locked On Bulls, and boom, there we will be. Also, in-car. If you have an in-car voice assistance feature, you can get in your car, safety first, of course, put on that seatbelt, start up your car, and ask your car's voice assistant feature to, that's right, play Locked On Bulls, and boom, the latest Locked On Bulls episode will be pulled up and start playing automatically. How cool is that? It's the future. It's 2019, people. So in case you haven't heard and you want to look for the quickest and fastest and easiest ways to get your favorite Bulls talk and your favorite Bulls content from Jordan and myself, there you go. Smart speakers in home and voice assistant features in car. All you have to do is tell them, play podcast Locked On Bulls, and it will listen to you and it will play Locked On Bulls. That's pretty damn. Welcome back into Locked On Bulls. One more topic that I want to touch on before we get out of here today. I mentioned Chris Dunn had a rough night last night and the Bulls lost to the Bucks. And just in case you missed that one, here's what his stat line looked like through 33 minutes of play. Chris Dunn, Bulls starting point guard, 2 points on 1-for-9 shooting, did not get to the free throw line, grabbed 4 rebounds, dished out 6 assists, got a steal, kept his turnovers to a respectable 2. But I'm sorry for a starting point guard that's still just not getting it done. No pun intended. However, some of these minutes, a significant portion of these minutes, came after Chris Dunn took a nasty fall, landing hard on the United Center floor. And no, this is not a flashback to last season when Chris Dunn fell after dunking on a fast break on his face, leaving parts of his teeth in the United Center hardwood. Certainly a scary deja vu kind of moment for Chris Dunn, for his teammates and Bulls fans everywhere watching that game last night. This time he took a very hard fall, landed on his backside, looked like directly on his tailbone without having any way to break his fall when he made a very aggressive move to the hoop. And I think it was Brook Lopez that bodied him and sent him flying to the floor. Dunn was down for a while after falling as the action went to the other end of the court. The Bulls, I can't remember if the Bucks scored or the Bulls got a stop, but by the time the Bulls had gotten the ball back and made their way back towards that end of the floor, Dunn was still writhing in pain just on the other side of the baseline, on the on underneath the hoop where the Bulls had been attacking. And for some reason, Jim Boylan was sitting there not observing this, or observing this and not doing anything about it. Dunn finally managed to get himself off the floor and was in play, back in play, for one or maybe two exchanges of possessions up until he had to just commit a foul to stop the clock, stop the action in play, and sub himself out. Then he was seen during a timeout from the television broadcast, sitting very discomfortably in a chair on the bench, having some kind of conversation with the Bulls trainer, Jeff Tanaka. Tanaka eventually sent Dunn back to the locker room, said, you know, go get yourself checked out. Dunn goes to the locker room, comes back from the locker room, checks back into the game, and is still visibly limping around, not moving comfortably at all, can barely bend down to pick up the ball after receiving an inbound pass. As the Bulls were trying to come from behind and conserve the clock, one of his teammates gave him one of those, you know, tricky inbounds passes where we're going to let the ball roll along the floor for a second before we pick it up to start the game clock. You could, like, he winced bending down to pick up the ball. He couldn't move on the defensive end. He couldn't move his feet. He couldn't run. He could barely walk. And yet the Bulls at 13 and 40 whatever still are allowing Chris Dunn to be out there. And I was sitting there watching that game with Big Dave and our fill-in co-host, Alana, for NBC's Bulls Outsiders last night. And we were all saying to ourselves and to each other, why the hell is Chris Dunn in this game right now? The dude probably has a bruised tailbone. Why is he in this game? Do you really want to win this game that badly? Do you really think that having Chris Dunn in that game was going to help you win that game? Because before he took that nasty fall, he was having himself another pretty bad game. What on earth? And this is the same team that just a couple nights ago let Zach LaVine play through the latter stages of a loss to Washington after he visibly re-aggravated the ankle that has been giving him a lot of problems recently. An ankle that he sprained, an ankle that has been sore. LaVine was visibly limping around the court in a game that the Bulls were going to lose. And yet, Boylan and his training staff let that happen. The same coach and training staff who let Chandler Hutchison play 41 minutes on a broken toe just a couple of weeks ago. And Boylan praising Chandler Hutchison for his toughness after the fact. And when we heard from Boylan after the game, it seemed like he wasn't even really clear what had happened to Chris Dunn and what the injury was. Did you not see your starting point guard take a horrible fall under the hoop? Were you just not paying attention when that happened, Jim? And what about Jeff Tanaka? Tanaka sent Chris Dunn to the locker room and for some reason thought it was okay, as badly as Dunn was limping and as much as he looked like he could not move with that sore backside, let him go back out into that game. A meaningless game. What is this trend of letting these players play hurt? I do not understand it. And if it is all under the guile of grit and toughness, I swear to God, Boylan has to be held responsible for this. Jordan and I were just joking on yesterday's podcast. I don't know if joking is the right word. We were ranting. We were fuming about Paxson blatantly lying about how he accepts responsibility for things within this organization. So I know that this is a tough concept for them. But Jim Boylan has to answer for that. In the span of a couple of weeks, we've seen one of their first-round draft pick rookies. We've seen their best, arguably, and most important, arguably, player this season, Zach LaVine, and the point guard that, according to John Paxson, they're still trying to evaluate, who they can still pick up an option for and bring back next season if they want to, either as a starter or as a backup guard, all play hurt. You have 13 wins as you approach the All-Star break. What is the benefit of letting these players play hurt? And if I swear to God, if the answer is grit and toughness, and I'm really proud of our guys for playing through these, what are you proving and what are you doing other than putting these players in unnecessary risk? It's unacceptable to me. All of those examples, Hutch, LaVine, and you could even throw Wendell in that category, and the fact that they didn't know that his thumb injury was as bad as it was until they got a second and third opinion. I'm not even going to mention Denzel Valentine in depth and all the ways in which we were lied about his health coming into this season. But this latest one with Chris Dunn last night, what What are we doing here? What is the point? The guy is visibly limping. He can barely move. And you send him back out there? And I don't care if it is Chris Dunn saying, I'm good, I want to play, I can play. Okay, well, anyone with two working eyeballs or one working eyeball even could see, no, Chris Dunn, you're not okay. And no, you are not going back out there. What on earth was the point of that? I don't get it. I really don't. 13 wins, one game away from an all-star break that this team desperately needs, and Boylan, grit and toughness commander, you know, wear bulls with pride across your chest in chief, letting his players play hurt in a meaningless game. What the hell is going on with that? I hate it, and I need an answer for it. Boylan needs to answer for that. And that'll do it. That's it for today's episode of Locked On Bulls. Again, as I said before, Jordan will be back tomorrow. We will get into our latest mailbag. We've got a lot to get to. We didn't get to everything with our reaction to Paxton's press conference, pieces from the mailbag, from your Otto Porter Jr. trade, pieces from the mailbag, and there are more and more rolling in every day. Again, that number is 331-979-1369. Leave us your texts and your voicemails this morning, this afternoon, or early morning tomorrow, and we will get to as many of them as we can on Wednesday's episode of Locked On Bulls. Thanks for listening to Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Matt Peck, saying thanks for listening. Jordan and I will talk to you tomorrow. Until then, Bulls Nation, see you red, but be good. We're out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com